Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
My wife Randy is sitting right here in the front row with me, and we have the privilege and pleasure of serving this family and this community here. We love what Jesus is doing amongst us, but we do welcome you to Life Church, and our desire is that you would encounter Jesus. You would involve with him this morning, that you would hear his voice, that we would walk out different, changed, blessed, encouraged as a result of encountering him. Thank you for our worship team. Where are they gone? Love what Jesus is doing amongst us. This morning, I want to start with a picture, a photo of a castle. Ooh. Randy grew up, no, she did not grow up in that place. That's North County, I think, right off Old Halls Ferry. That's what she told me. I don't know. This morning, I want to talk about building bridges, not moats. Building bridges, not moats. You'll see a picture of that again. Thank you. There's the castle. And it is surrounded, as many of the old, Rick Perryman can tell you all about it later, historical things. They would build moats around the castle for protection. So the bad guys couldn't just roll into the castle. But they would have bridges. This isn't necessarily one of them. But they would have bridges called a drawbridge. And I looked up and I was just curious. When I saw this, and it was just a caption underneath it, and it said this, and the moat, a moat, M-O-A-T-S, moat, is the water surrounding the castle. And it was typically man-made, but moats keep one side from another, and the only way to span the expanse is to walk across a drawbridge, which is controlled by those running the castle. So the castle, typically in the olden days, would have a bridge that they could raise and lower whenever they wanted, whenever the owners and the residents of the castle deemed necessary. But if they didn't want you in, they would just leave the moat, the bridge up. No entry, can't come in. You gotta swim across alligator, crocodile, piranha, electric eels, great white sharks, great red sharks, lots of sharks. The water, the moat, was a protection against all those out there. You can't get easy inside. And this morning I want to talk about the ability to build bridges that allows people in and out of our lives instead of moats that keep us isolated, self-protection, that keeps us away from society, away from those people out there, those political party that we don't like, those people who are different color skin than us, different religions than us. It's so easy to have an isolationist mentality. Aren't you glad that's not what Jesus did? Because where Jesus was perfect. And Jesus came to build a bridge to bring heaven to earth. He could have stayed in heaven, perfect, wonderful, perfect moat called the expanse. We can't get there. But Jesus said, I'm going to build a bridge to earth. Drawbridges can be raised or lowered that keep people in or out. Have you ever heard the phrase? I think most of us has. Someone who's king of their castle. Anybody ever heard that phrase? King of your castle. It sounds very, I don't know what it sounds like. I don't like it. But for me, as I was just meditating over the last few weeks, Which king is in charge of the castle that I live in? Me? King me or King Jesus? Who's in charge of my castle? Me or Jesus? Who actually is king of my castle? Who's king of my life? Who's king of my personal life? How do I know who's king of my castle? Because it's in my actions and my activities you'll find out who's king of my castle. How do I spend the resources of my life? My time, my finance, my talents. You can tell who's king of my castle by my actions. Am I all about people or protection of me? Hiding myself away so no one ever gets to me again. No one hurts me. No one takes advantage of me. The unfortunate thing about our current society, and I think it was certainly catapulted by COVID, it's so easy now for people just to stay at home. I was just speaking with a couple of people in the last 2 weeks that since COVID, they just stay at home. They can watch all the worship, watch all the sermons, all the ministry online. Never have to leave the convenience of their castle. But I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. Because I don't think Jesus wants us to build moats for self-protection. But I'm trying. It's a bridge that we let down. People come and go. In heaven, there's relationship. And that's one of the things I want to talk about this morning is relationships. In heaven, there's always been relationship. There's always been, and there always will be, relationship in heaven. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They could have stayed there, enjoying sweet society, perfection. They have it all together. They don't need anyone else, but because of the way the Father is, the way King Jesus is, the way Holy Spirit is, they're not creating distance and separation. What they wanted was to build a bridge into our world. And so they came in Jesus. He came, obliterating the moat created by Adam, as we read in Genesis, through disobedience. Jesus is all about closeness, about participation, about relationship, about connection. Why? Because Jesus wants to grow his family. He wants people, more people, millions and billions of people in his family. And he's chosen the strangest vehicle. The vehicle he's chosen is Zach. Not that he's strange. Not that he's unusual. But he's chosen Gabriel as his vehicle to expand his family. Tim Hedlund, Cindy Hedlund, as his vehicle to expand his family. Becky, handprints all over you to extend his family. He wants more kids in his family. He wants more noise. My wife and I were just in Chicago this week for a couple of days. One of our grandsons turned 7 today, and so we're at a party. How many kids?
11.
There were 11 children, 13 and under. Lord Jesus, come soon. It was so cold, the kids couldn't go outside, so fortunately they were all inside. Different parenting skills. Ever heard about different parenting skills? Oh my gosh. Only 3 of them were ours. Kyle's. And I think for the most part, they were the quiet ones. Comparative. Family is God's heartbeat. Always has been, always will be. With Jesus, family is always, always completely intentional. Intentional. Family is always completely purposeful. Family is always completely costly. So much easier to have your moat. Everybody's welcome, but you. Family is always completely worth it. It doesn't feel like it in the moment so much as they're destroying your stuff, your precious stuff. And the most precious stuff is our hearts. When we bump into people and they tear our hearts and they bruise us and they scar us and they harm us. And Jesus says it's worth it. You know why? Because that was him. He gave himself, he was destroyed physically for us. Thank you, Jesus. Family is eternally valuable. How do we get family? Connection and relationship. Not through isolation, not through moats, not through distance and high walls. Why family? Because of love, his love. It changes everything. That's why we do it, love. The goal, family. It's building bridges, not moats. Paul in the Bible, we looked at the book of Acts, as I said, for probably 63 years in a row. But we saw Paul, an apostle of God, a real apostle. And what he wrote, and it's still written for us, and we can see in the Word of God, God's heartbeat, heaven's heartbeat, Jesus' heartbeat. And Paul had a desire. He wasn't married, didn't have kids, didn't have nephews. Well, he may have had nephews. We don't know that. But the Bible doesn't talk about his marriage or his own children. But he'd have an understanding of heaven. He went and visited heaven. He talks about when he had a revelation and went and saw the third heaven. And he saw what heaven was like. And it changed him forever. He actually encountered Jesus. And it changed him forever. He couldn't just live life. Because he'd seen something, he tasted something of an age to come. And Paul, in the Bible, in the New Testament, he used an illustration to help us understand how important family is. The dynamics of family, the intricacies, the challenge of family. And he gave us an illustration many of us will be so familiar with out of 1 Corinthians 12. All about connection. And he used the human body as an illustration of the importance of family, relationships, joinings, connections. All of us and the body, the illustration that Paul used in this particular instance in 1 Corinthians 12. The body, the finger and the toe, so completely different, yet with one purpose. Everything working in tandem, one with each other. For mutual benefit, unity for and with purpose, relationships, connection. Again, it can be so costly, so painful, but it's so valuable, so worth it. You know why? Because we're designed by heaven, because we're made in his image for relationship. And it has nothing to do with your personality. Some of you who have been here for a while will know that I have told you, and it's true, I know, I'm the most introverted person in this room. Every personality thing that I've ever taken says, oh my gosh, should be working on your own. But God's design and desire has nothing to do with my personality or your personality. Nothing to do with it. Family and connection and relationship has nothing to do with personality. But so often we want to use our natural things to cause us to step away from our responsibilities at times, to justify my action or inaction. But I want to challenge us. My desire and design for relationship has nothing to do with whether I'm an extrovert or an introvert. Nothing. Because God made me, you, in his image. And he is all about relationship and family. Let me read 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to read along with me. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. This is Paul, an apostle of God, and this is illustration. He's trying to help the Corinthian church understand the importance of connection, the importance of family. He says, all right, good. I'll give you an example about the human body. Verse 12. just as a body, the one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to have form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Moat. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. Moat. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. Moat. If the whole body were an eye, sounds like a nightmare. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Gosh, I could go off right here. Rabbit trail. Stay focused. Stay on target. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Oh, do I want to go off? Verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Verse 27, this is a statement of faith by an apostle of God. Now you are. Now you are. Not in the age to come. Now you are. Right now. You are. The body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. Opposite of moat. Opposite of isolation. Opposite of, I'm going to walk this alone because you're weird. I don't like you. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. Welcome to the party. That's our ticket in. It's your entrance. Now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. Indispensable, treasured, beautiful, unique. Yes, a little bizarre at times. You know who you are. Yes, we do. Now you are the body of Christ. Am I acting like it? Or am I living moat life? Is my bridge down? So dangerous, so costly. I can travel the world and be a friend to them, but at home, no thank you. I can go to Kosovo and love people really, really well. But people at the restaurant, people in my neighborhood, my kids, moat. It's so easy to love those people over there. But what about right here? That person. And my question for me this morning is, am I fitted? Am I joined? Or am I isolated? Am I MIA? Am My wife and I, we spent 4 days in Florida this week with some friends. And we were just driving, and it was a restaurant we passed. And I don't see them too much anymore, thankfully. But it just reminded me. There was a flag outside of a restaurant. It was the old POW, the black flag that said POW. Basically, to remember the prisoners of war. You used to see it a lot in the 70s and 80s, in particular, maybe with Vietnam vets. Don't forget those people who are missing in action. Don't forget. Thank you, Jesus, for all the people who serve this country. And thank you, Jesus, for all of you who serve this country. And thank you, Jesus, for all the people who are still following Jesus after all these years, for many of you. That hopefully, in our hearts, we aren't MIA. I'm here, but I'm not here. I'm sitting in a seat, but in my heart, missing in action. And I'm going to get way ahead of my notes here. But here's the challenge for me. One of the challenges. I have so many challenges. I have challenges. Dr. Leo Marvin, I have challenges. It's so easy in this country to go to church on a Sunday. Just to go to church on a Sunday. You know why? Hopefully the sermon's not too long. Hopefully the worship is cool. If they sing like Lindsay and Heather, sure, we'll do that. That's cool. But it's so easy to do my Christian thing on a Sunday morning. I come in a little early or a little late. Kind of make my way to the parking lot a little early. Or if I want to do my bit, connect with a couple of people, my friends. And so many, it's so easy in this country, in America, to feel like I've done my bit. That's my Christian stuff, Sunday morning. But I look at it, I think, did Jesus really come and live and die on earth and allow himself to hang on a cross for a Sunday morning, my Sunday morning experience? Is that what Jesus said? My church, my bride, is a Sunday morning experience for an hour and a half? Is that what Jesus came and died for? No, I would agree, Frank, thank you. I think it's so much more, but it's so challenging. Why? Because we're all so busy. We've got lives, we've got stuff, we've got things. And at times, and I mean this, at times, it's just a chore. Well, not a chore, wrong word. It's a challenge just to get up and get the kids going and get the husband going. Hey, you think it's easy to decorate this face in like 3 minutes? It takes a while. Hair. Why did you have to bring that up? I was doing so good. Now I'm wounded again. I'm leaking right up here. Said by a beautician, by a hairdoer, hair thinger, whatever that is. But I think Jesus' heart is a bridge builder, the ultimate bridge builder, is he wants connection with me. And he wants me connected with people. And it's so costly. And it has absolutely, I don't minimize or in any way, don't misconstrue. Oh, he said Sunday. The scripture, I think it's 1 Corinthians, don't neglect the gathering together of the saints. I'm not minimizing Sunday morning in any way. There's a blessing when the family comes together. But Lord, help me if I think this is it. This is overflow. This is the cherry on top. This is one of the fun bits of being a believer for me. Because when I sing, I sound great on Sunday morning. And then I go back to me on Tuesday and I'm like, ooh, turn the volume up on the CD. But you are integral to the purpose of God. You are invaluable. Anybody have, okay, my wife has hobbies. She has a lot of hobbies. I'm just going to talk to this group over here. She's over there. One of the things that my wife has got into, and I know it's not because she gets to do it by herself. I'm talking to this group over here. My wife loves puzzles. Anybody here like puzzles? Oh, you poor people. I hate puzzles. I like bowling. Bowling is fun. Puzzles, not fun. They just irritate me. Because they all the silly pieces look the same, and they don't fit. I make them. I do. Oh, they're bent. The end doesn't look quite right, but I, in the process, make them work. Do we have a picture of a puzzle? That's a puzzle. After my wife has done it. Now we flip to the other one. That's the puzzle when I do it. Now, when we look at this puzzle, honestly, this, and trust me, this is not a trick question, Holly. It's not a trick question. No intent to trick anybody. But when you look at this puzzle, what do you see?
Missing pieces.
Missing pieces. That is the correct answer. Why is our eyes, our attention drawn to what's missing? It's a heart. Will we all agree that's a heart? Yeah. It is a heart, right? It may not be complete, but there's something in us that sees it's not complete. Something is missing. I wonder if it's you. In my heart, in your heart, I wonder if something's missing right here. And I think when something's missing, it breaks God's heart. Because his intention is completeness, fullness. Every part fitting together perfectly. That when the world looks at it, they see the love of God. They see completeness. They see wholeness. Something that they're missing because they don't have wholeness, because they don't have Jesus. But they're looking for it. And what if what they see is me and you fit in right place, joined in the right place? Recently, my beautiful wife, she's putting a, is it candy? What's, ice cream?
It's ice cream.
Ice cream, yeah. We all love ice cream. But it's a tease. There's no ice cream. It's just a puzzle. And she's got this thing, and she does the border first. And we have our youngest daughter, Jody. Sorry, Jody. She's living at home with us for a few months, paying off some college tuition loans. And Jody, God bless her, she almost got the permanent ban. You know, you're out. Jody was taking her dog outside and she bumped into the puzzle tray. Three pieces gone. I laughed by myself. Jody was freaking out. What? Mom, what? You're on your own, baby. You go tell her. God has a design and a desire for you to find your place and his family, that you fit uniquely where only you fit. All those other people, those other pieces, they all have their place. Where do you fit? Where do you fit? How God has made you so unique. Where do you fit? And if I can just say this, I don't think what Jesus had fully in mind was that chair and that row and that section. I don't think that's why Jesus came, lived, and died. It was just so that you find a chair and a row and a section on a Sunday morning. I think there's more in God's heart for you and for me. And I believe with all my heart, it's only found in connection together. Something greater than you and I. We're better together. And together we make something beautiful. But it takes my time. It takes my part to play. At the end of this month, we're going to launch life groups. I mentioned it probably a month ago, while we were in Acts for that arduous, long time. At the end of this month, we're going to launch life groups. Those are small groups. That's not height. I know some of you uniquely qualify for small groups. I'm not going to mention any names. You know I want to. But at the end of this month, certainly by the second week into April, we're going to have small groups, life groups, we're going to call them, in this church. What will that look like? Well, it'll be about 12 to 15 people per group. And they'll meet throughout the week in neighborhoods, in homes. Hopefully, yes, yay. Hopefully, none of them will meet here in the building. Nothing wrong with the building, but I think God wants to touch neighborhoods. And these life groups, small groups, will be very intentionally different than the small groups that already are in existence. And that many of them have been in existence for so long in this church. They'll be intentionally very different than the existing small groups. Are there small groups in this church? Yes. Friday morning bread and coffee. Anybody have Friday morning bread and coffee? Anybody go to that group? You know who you are. It's like, Saturday morning sanctuary. We had it this Saturday. Life Tots. Men's coffee. Prayer for prodigals. Rooted in hope. Prayer groups. All the other groups. The life groups are going to be uniquely very different than all those pre-existing groups. They're going to be very intentional. And these life groups are going to have a time of prayer. We're going to look into what the Lord is saying to the family together. Instead of just what the Lord is saying through this preacher or that preacher or this people group or that people group. But what is God saying in the Bible, in the Word of God to this family? It's going to be discussion oriented, not teaching. Not teaching. Okay, Crank. I got him on board. Let's try this side. Why not teaching? Oh my gosh, if there's one thing in the United States of America that we have a glut of is teaching. If I can just say this, if there's a lack of meat on the bones, it's people crying out for relationships in this country. We've got the internet, podcasts, books, no end of stuff online. But what I see and feel and experience so often is people don't have friends. They don't have relationships. They don't have connection. And I love the Word of God. I love teaching. But I believe what Jesus wants is connection, bridges into other people's lives and to people around me. So in our life groups, it's not going to be teaching oriented, but we will have dialogue and discussion rather than one person like this talking to you. That's not going to be what life groups look like. It's going to be interaction, connection, conversation in life groups. It'll be support and encouragement. Why life groups? One is connection. Two, relationships. Three, there will be fun. If there's competition, I win. It's not a challenge, I'm just telling you. Luke 5:29, Jesus himself. The Bible says this, then Levi, one of the disciples, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. In our groups, we will have food. In Jesus' name. One of the purposes of these life groups is unity. That as a church family, we're on the same page. We're talking about the same things, similar things. In this life groups, it is investment of your time into other people because you have something to offer someone else that's unique. Jair, people need to know about your life and what resonates in your soul. You, my friend, are unique and beautifully formed and fashioned. Megan, how'd I do? Okay, good. In life groups, growth will happen. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. There's already a couple of people, I won't mention them by name, who have small groups in their house discipling. One lady is discipling a bunch of ladies. And you know what I hear? They're bringing their friends. It's so good. They're bringing their friends to it. Another guy has a small group of guys in his house. And you know what they're doing? Guys are inviting their friends to come. Why? Because there's life in it.
Amen.
So in 2 weeks, we're going to set up, we're going to give information. How do you join these life groups? In 2 weeks' time, two Sundays. How to get them. What I'd like you to do is this. A great but how. And I'll close with this. Great but how. What do I do with this? First point. Just start considering. Could I? Not asking you to consider why it won't work. One of the funny things, the game that my wife and I play at home is we throw out an option. It's so easy to tell me why it won't work. How can it work? That's the challenge. We call it skeet in my house. We can play skeet. Pull, poo, shoot it down. There's a million reasons why something won't work. We're not going to play skeet, potentially. How could you involve with your busy, busy, busy lifestyle? Just start considering, could I? Who is king of my castle? Is it me or Jesus? Do I have a moat mentality? Or is it time to drop the drawbridge down and allow people in? Second thing, do you want to lead a life group? Would you like to? We have several people who've already said, I want to, which is a beautiful thing, and thank you. Do you want to lead a life group? If you do, please see me. A number of people have already seen me. Can I ask you to do this? If you would like to lead a life group, please, please, please be patient. The need will be based on need and location. If you live in Kenosha, Wisconsin, you may be part of phase C to come. But I guarantee you, there is a need in your neighborhood for a life group. Even if you're 30 miles away, there's a need. So if you would like to lead a life group, see me, but please be patient. And last point, as far as a GBH, do I have to join a life group? Do I have to? Absolutely not. Of course not. You do not have to. One of the DNA, one of the culture values of this church is choice. You do not have to be part of this church. All I can simply say is, from Scripture, I believe it's part of the family of God. That we're connected in families, in joinings, in real relationships, not just a Sunday morning. I'm already so busy. I know. What do I do? I'll close with this quick story. In 1983, my wife and I joined a small group in Bridgeton, Missouri, on Domenico Court, right off of Natural Bridge Road, across from the old Bridgeton police station. Rick Derby was the leader, Rick and Sue Derby. Some of the people in here would remember him from church years gone by. And Rick and Sue led it was 4158 Domenico Court. Why do I remember that? I don't know what I had for breakfast yesterday. But Rick and Sue led this home group for 12 years. It split and divided through growth probably 6 different times. The most successful small group I've ever seen in my entire life. And the main ingredient, why was it so successful? Because Rick didn't try and teach. He facilitated people and life and communication and opportunity for people to share. Not dominate, but share. And people found life. People grew. People were challenged. One of my greatest life changes was when Rick heard that I was telling his actual blood brother something that Rick had done himself. We call that gossip. Yeah, I know. I was shocked just as you, Frank. Rick, my friend Rick, heard that I was telling somebody what Rick had done to his natural brother, Kenny Derby. Is that okay to say publicly? I did. And so Ricky brought me into his house, into his basement, and he just started bringing out scriptures about what happens when gossips speak. And sharing a story. And he probably had 8 different scriptures. And all he did was just read the scriptures. That's all he did. Didn't rebuke me. Didn't challenge me. He just started reading what the Bible says about what gossip does in relationships. I was weeping after probably the sixth or seventh verse. And I said, what do I do? I was a relatively new Christian. I'd only been a Christian 40 years. No. Seven. And Ricky said, this is what the Bible says when you have trouble with a brother. You go to him, Matthew 18. And I wept and I wept and I wept in my friend's basement because he challenged me with the word of God. Real relationship, real connection, and he changed my life. Because somebody took time to relate to me. Somebody took time to challenge me. Somebody took time to love me. Real relationships, and I'll be forever grateful. Ricky's gone on to be with the Lord now. I'll be forever indebted for somebody who opened up his house, opened up his heart, and opened up the scriptures to me and loved me. Father, I thank you for your grace, your kindness, your love. I thank you that you came and you didn't launch a Colosseum ministry, but you got 12 guys together and you lived life and you met in homes and you broke bread and you ate and you laughed and you challenged and you got in each other's lives. I thank you, Jesus, that you showed us what family looks like. Not moat, but bridges. Jesus, I pray that you would help us in the weeks and the months and the years to go forward. We would have real life just like your intention. Not isolated, but connected. In spite of my crazy busy schedule already, Father, that we would just consider, what if? Is it so important that I would be willing to adjust something else? No pressure, no pressure. But are real relationships, real connections, worth me making an adjustment in my schedule? Holy Spirit, help me, help us. As a church family, extend your kingdom into neighborhoods, into families outside of this church family. Bless us as we go forward. Give us wisdom. May I hear your voice. And everyone said, amen. Can I have the prayer team come up? If you have real need, a real challenge, and you want somebody to pray, I know we've already prayed for people's backs and spines. But if you'd like someone to pray with you, we would like to pray with you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. We love you and thank you. Amen and amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.